on. Phil Murphy, as you said, Whitey, is waiting on the line. He's the host of ESPN Sports Center. He joins us on The Breakfast Club as our US correspondent. Good morning, Phil.
Hey, good morning, boys. How are you going?
We're going very well, thank you, buddy. Nice to have you on board again. Now, I want to talk about Monday Night Football the other night too, which was excellent. But before we get to that, my understanding is the NFL have informed all 32 teams that there will be a private workout staged for free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick on Saturday in Atlanta. How big a news item is this in the world of NFL football?
It's a pretty significant news story right now. One, because it's new, but two, because of all the weight around Colin Kaepernick's name. For those who may not know, he was the one at the genesis of the kneeling before the national anthem debate, the peaceful protest that was debated for years and years in the NFL, and he was the one who, you know, was the pariah of those who were anti-anthem kneeling, and he was the face of the movement for those who were for it. And either way, he hasn't played a significant NFL game in 3 years. All the while, he and his people, mostly his people, he hasn't spoken publicly very often, have said that he does want to play for an NFL team. There were accusations that the NFL owners were colluding against him, functionally blackballing him from the NFL, which is certainly not allowed. There was a class action, functional class action suit filed against the league in that regard. And now the league is coming out and hosting this workout. So on the surface, you would say, okay, well, the NFL is pro Colin Kaepernick getting his fair shot at joining an NFL club. The odd thing about it is the timing. It being on a Saturday, which is the day before most of these teams are going to be playing a regular season game. And again, this event, this invitation was sent out to all 32 NFL teams, general managers, scouting department, all of that. But the fact that it's on a Saturday in the middle of the season makes it tough. And again, we are in the middle of the season now. So if this is a recent agreement that they had come to, that they're going to move forward with this, if it was part of the, you know, settlement in whatever suits were filed, that would make sense. But there are more opportune days to hold this workout. For example, today, it's Wednesday in the U.S., or yesterday, Tuesday in the U.S. Those are the quieter days for these programs where they're not only preparing for their next opponent the day before on Saturday when this workout will happen. It'll be Sunday morning for those who might want to follow in Melbourne. But also, the NFL scouts who are going to have the most vested interest in watching Kaepernick, Saturday is when American college football is played. So all of them who have their eyes on the next generation of talent, they're very occupied watching these live games from site around the country. So that is a little curious, but there are certainly teams that need help at the quarterback position. It is the most important position by a significant margin in the NFL. And, I mean, you can pretty much correlate quarterback stability with sustained team success. You look at all the dynasties in NFL history, all of them had stability at the quarterback position. So there are teams out there that are willing to take on the public relations attention that they're going to get, not just in the sports world, but in your CNN and BBC and whatever it might be, your international news networks that are going to have attention on whomever Colin Kaepernick is signed by. They're going to take that on as well. So there is that cost benefit to it. But it is his opportunity to prove he's still capable of playing this position at the highest level, a high-level workout in front of every team. Teams will have eyes on it, whether they are able to send someone in person or they're able to just watch the recording of it. And not just his workout, but a one-on-one interview that's going to be filmed as well to get his thoughts on his social justice movement and to see how much of an added element that will be that seems to have been at the nexus of him being removed from the league in the first place.
So, Phil, really then, it's the NFL just ticking a box to keep Colin Kaepernick and his people happy?
I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but I will say there are reports that his team did ask to move the workout to a different state, and his team is claiming that was declined. I don't believe the NFL has had an opportunity to respond to that yet. But that was my immediate reaction and the immediate reaction of a bunch of people around here. It's like, Saturday is a really odd time to hold this. And if they're going to go through the motions of having this workout, especially at a team facility, there would have been more opportune times to do it.
So moving on from Colin, how good is Lamar Jackson? At the moment, what he's doing for Baltimore is simply amazing. Yeah. He's had two perfect quarterback passer ratings this season, which is unheard of. And that spin move that he did on Monday morning our time was off the charts good.
Yeah, he is a special talent. And we've seen him do that kind of stuff since he was in college. The question with him was always, would it translate to the NFL? And for years and years and years, he would see athletic quarterbacks, guys with just unbelievable speed and agility, get to the NFL, and because they weren't as physically superior compared to their contemporaries going from college to the pro levels, a lot of them would, one, they would get hit harder, hit more often, and they just wouldn't last. And 1A, their runs wouldn't be as effective. Lamar Jackson has shown such improvement from last year to this year as a passing quarterback that teams have to respect his ability to throw in the pocket. So it does open up those running windows that when he gets in open space, then he can turn on the jets and do what he did. And there is something of a recency bias there because he's been tremendous in the last 2 weeks in beating the Patriots, handing them their first loss, and then what he did to a hapless Bengals team. But he was utterly remarkable in that game. I don't think the opponent really mattered. It moved him into a tie in terms of, if you talk to punters, in terms of most valuable player odds, which is tremendous for a guy who's as young as he is. If you actually look at the Heisman Trophy odds, which goes to the best American college football player, the guy who's the favorite, Joe Burrow out of LSU, is actually older than Lamar Jackson. So this guy is still so green as a player, but his ability to throw under pressure. Last year, he was among the worst quarterbacks in the NFL against the blitz. This year, right now, he's statistically the best against the blitz. So he's done some tremendous work in the offseason and still relying on his physical gifting at the opportune time. He really seems to have put it together. And credit to the Baltimore Ravens as well. They really seem to have adjusted the offense to fit his unique skill set, that they are able to optimize him. Objective 1A, 1B, all the way down, is keep him healthy. Minimize the hits he takes, because as long as he is fit, he has the ability to break any game open. And if you talk to people around the NFL, they'll say there are two things that you need to do once we get to the playoffs, the real games of consequence. Because here in the U.S., I know you guys are experiencing spring and you're starting to get some beautiful weather. The high temperature at my house today was 1 degree Celsius. We are going toward winter headlong. In the NFL, you have to do two things. You have to run the ball well, because it's harder to throw in cold climates, and you have to play defense. With Lamar Jackson, the Ravens run the ball very, very well, and that is a franchise that has been famous for its defense since its inception and since they won their first Super Bowl 20 years ago.
Now, they've announced the Rookie of the Year awards in Major League Baseball, but the major awards are today or tomorrow, I think. So who do you expect to win those MVP awards for the American League and the National League?
Well, so the awards, Major League Baseball likes to stretch things out. So they had the Rookie of the Year go out a couple days ago. Yordan Alvarez of the Astros won it in the American League. Pete Alonso, who broke the rookie home run record, won it in the National League. Yesterday was Manager of the Year. People don't get as hyped for that. Today and tomorrow are the real awards of consequence. In the American League, your two favorites for Cy Young Award, which is the best pitcher, it's Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander of the Astros are at the front runners. I would tip Cole to win it. He had the better body of work for the season. And it must be stressed, this is a regular season award, so any of these guys who might have struggled in the postseason or didn't reach the postseason, that isn't taken into consideration. So I would say Gerrit Cole for the Astros is probably the favorite to win in the American League. In the National League, it's probably going to be Jacob deGrom of the Mets. And the reason that's noteworthy is that if you look at his statistics in terms of wins and losses, they're not terribly impressive. And last year that was the case as well. He gets record low run support, but he still gets out and dazzles every time out. And for him, it's been a reported source of frustration that he wants to be on a winning team and he wants to be in a situation where he gets run support and is able to put up career numbers in terms of wins and losses that match the other statistics he has that are Hall of Fame caliber. So I'd say today you would look at Gerrit Cole and Jacob deGrom as likely winners. in the American League Most Valuable Player race, which that award is tomorrow. It'll be tomorrow night U.S., tomorrow morning for you all. Mike Trout of the Angels should run away with it. The guy is a tremendous talent. He finished first or second in Most Valuable Player voting in 7 of his 8 years in the league. And we can go ahead and write that in 8 of 9. He's not finishing lower than second, and he really should finish first. In the National League, it's a little bit tighter of a race. Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers, Christian Yelich of the Brewers, both have a decent claim at it. I would tip Bellinger, but I don't think you'd get too many complaints if it went to Yelich.
Interesting times that we've run out of time with you. I feel unfortunately we need to talk to you more and more often. That's what we need to do, but we appreciate your time as always. Look forward to another big week in the world of US sport.
All right, boys.